Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Pan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest for this morning is Renee Mullen Masters. She is the creator of You Are Smarter Than You Think program. Renee and I will be discussing the amazing success her program has achieved in the last 14 years. This has led her to release the third edition of her book, You Are Smarter Than You Think. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm great today.
Wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you on here with me. You Are Smarter Than You Think is a very interesting read. It is very informative and beautifully organized and structured. So congratulations on this third edition.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy about it and also my online training. It was really great to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let us get started by getting to know you a little better. So please tell us a little bit about your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, I guess I'll say that in childhood, my educational experience was a bit schizophrenic. One minute I felt intelligent, and the next minute I felt stupid. And I had this amazing experience where I was in second grade, and my very best friend got moved to third grade, which was devastating. And I asked her why, and her parents had told her that she was smarter than the rest of us. And then fast forward, I got into college, and she was in my botany class when we were freshmen. And it was taught experientially, and like if we were talking about a pine cone, we held a pine cone. And after the first test, the instructor announced that I had gotten the highest grade. And when I talked to her after class, she had only gotten a C, and she had studied. And it just, it blew me away. It was like, how did that happen? And I didn't know the answer, but it confused me. And so I went on and I did, you know, speech pathology, and then I ran into Dr. Howard Gardner's work, and Dr. Howard Gardner's work answered all the questions about why my learning had been schizophrenic, that we brains are different, more different than fingerprints, and that we all need something different. And so it took me into a totally different vehicle. And that was about 25 years ago, and I have been working with nursing programs nationally with my program because they value learning. And then about 3 years ago, we did a pilot at the university, actually it was probably four, at the University of Minnesota, where we legitimately studied the program, and it went very well. And then from that information, we created a online training so that any teacher in any classroom can offer this program to their students by assigning this online program that takes 2 hours to do. Mm-hmm. And when you get done, you know how to learn and you don't have the experiences that I had. And so what else do you want to know about me? I live in the forest, and the love of my life, my husband, passed away 2 years ago. He had vascular dementia, so I took care of him for 10 years, and it taught me many, many, many things, and I feel blessed by that experience. It was tough, but I survived it. So,
I understand.
And now I'm, you know, here wanting to help teachers create an environment where students can learn in the classroom. I think that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. In reading the book, it reminded me when I first started school, in the sense that you are right, because each and every one of us have our own style, the way we learn, and our own ability. And you're right. I was involved in a situation where you have some other students that was somewhat promoted, jump one class. That's what they call it back then.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, like, you know, wait a minute, is there something wrong with me?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, we go through that process of thinking about it. And I'm so glad that you addressed the issue. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the program. Why did you pursue speech pathology as your area of discipline?
Well, I'm not that old. I don't consider myself old. But when I was, you know, graduating from high school, there weren't a lot of options for women back there, at least in the BLEAD system. And my parents were older. So, you know, I could be a teacher, a nurse, or, and then here was speech pathology. So I went and visited a speech pathologist, and I thought, you know, I can do this. I would enjoy doing this. And as it turned out, it was luck, because speech pathology was taught experientially at the university that I went to, and so I did very well. It was very, it was one of the best learning experiences I had. So talk about life rising up to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did it.
I see. Fantastic. You have a wonderful story about how you discover the program, the whole process, so forth. So I do want to have you share with us your life's epiphany that led you to the discovery of You Are Smarter Than You Think program.
Okay. Well, I was a speech pathologist, and I was doing, we were developing a program for PBS, and I was, I bumped into Dr. Howard Gardner's book, Frames of Mind. And as I was reading this book, I was having one aha experience after another. It was like I was on fire. And at the moment when I was having this experience, the next day I was speaking to a group of college students, and I asked the instructor if I could talk about this book. And I did, and I gave the students some things that they could do. So the next day I was walking across this campus, and one of the students came up from behind, grabbed me, scared me to death, and she said, "Renee, this works. This is amazing. It really works." So I got excited because I knew, I just thought, man, this has to work. So I began doing workshops in my home and experimented with some new ideas and different things and changed things. And then I began teaching a college success class at Orange Coast College in Southern California. And there, that's where this program really took root. It's like I experimented with students, and we really got it solidified. And at the same time, a nursing program in Southern California found me. I don't know how, but they came to me and said, "You know, Renee, we're losing some of our best people who are really good with patients but can't do the academics, can't pass the written tests." So I began working with those students, and all of a sudden, you know, these students, all of them were becoming A students instead of, you know, D and F students. When I left Southern California and moved here, they encouraged me to write a book, and then I was a speaker at the National League for Nursing, and then everything, you know, that's how it all began. That's how, you know, it just sort of evolved.
Yeah, fascinating story. It's a beautiful story. You use the word intellectual discrimination. What is it?
Well, if you think about it, in school, there's two intelligences, brain talents, that they focus on, and that's linguistic and logical.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Those two talents, period. And if you don't happen to have those talents in a big way, you end up feeling like you're walking into walls. And I think, you know, your listeners can look at their own experience. I mean, I know that when I was in school, I didn't do it as well as other people in the classroom, and it made me feel stupid. And it happened because the classroom didn't line up with my brain talents. It wasn't that I was stupid or less intelligent. It was because it didn't line up. And the discrimination happens because we don't talk about this. We don't do anything about it. We're walking around in classrooms with our hands over our eyes. And very few people talk about it. And so it is a discrimination, in my opinion. And a bunch of people end up feeling stupid the rest of their lives, which I think is tragic.
Right. It's true, because you do feel like you're inferior compared to someone else. And then, of course, if you're an introvert, that it follows you for the rest of your life.
You know, even if you're not, it still does.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually, it's under there. It's like even after I'd gotten my master's, there was always this little thing, you know, that said, eh, you're not very smart. You know, somebody's going to find you out.
That's true, yeah. But, I mean, there's always the constant pressure from within that we're thinking that, well, we're not quite there yet in some ways, and you're right about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's debilitating. It's, you know, it's like you push it down, hoping that it won't have an impact. But the truth is, that thing is there and it's running you. It has impact. It really does affect the way you function in the world.
So true. Why can a teacher effectively address all the learning needs and have it work for everyone?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because when I, you know, when I first got this information and I was teaching this college success class, I thought, hey, this is great. All I have to do is meet all the learning style needs of all the kids in the classroom. And the kids had five things that they had. It was a pass, no pass class. They had five things they had to do in order to get a pass grade. So I did all these different things in front of the class to try and help them learn what those five things were. And the next day, I gave them a test. But the shocking thing that happened is that only two people knew the five things. So I went, wow, what did I do wrong? And what I realized is that learning is personal. It happens over here with the individual. The teacher can't pour information into a student. We got it all wrong. If the student understands how they learn, they can transform any learning situation into something that works for them, so that the discrimination stops. It absolutely stops. And that teacher can stand up there and inspire the student about this subject they're talking about, and then the student, no matter how it's coming out, they can transform it so that they can get it and learn it and, you know, receive it and learn it.
How do one discover one's learning style? Because you talk a lot about that. You have to set a baseline for ourselves in order for us to move forward. So how do we discover that?
Well, there's a, you know, you can read Dr. Howard Gardner's Frames of Mind book, but you can also take advantage of my 25 years experience, and I have a book and an online training that gives you two self-evaluations. And what we do is we look at how you were as a kid, a little kid, because before age five, that's when you were really honest about who you were. But when you get into school, you abandon that. So in these two self-evaluations that you take, we take a look at the one, the Howard Gardner survey. We kind of look at how you were as a kid. And if you don't know how you were as a kid, you can. We ask you to go with your first impulse, because the first impulse is usually very accurate. So you go through this these self-evaluations, and when you get through, you have a profile and you see where your strengths are. And that's what you focus on. You focus on your strengths and you forget your weaknesses.
Very interesting. Do you have a specific exercise that you can share with us?
about learning what
yeah.
style you are? Well, what
yes.
I can do is I can go through all of them, and people can get a sense about it. The
right.
linguistic people really love language and words, but their specific words. Logical are people who need sequential organization in order to really understand. Spatial are people who like it simplified. Too many words and their system short circuits, and they usually are the artist, or they like maps and color. The next brain talent has to do with body kinesthetic. Body kinesthetic people love to move around. Movement is really important to them. The next one is musical. People who are musical don't necessarily play a music instrument. They just relate to music. It really, you know, can shift their mood. And the last two are people who are experiential learners. And the first one is a person who is talented in knowing self. And when they're kids, little kids, they know what they want to wear, what they want to eat, where they want to go, even if they can't motor it out because their parents won't let them. And the other one is talented in knowing others. And these are the actors. These are the ones that could tell whether somebody was safe or not safe. They were the mediators when there were arguments, that kind of thing. And so those are the seven different areas that Gardner talks about, and those are the brain talents. But in addition to that, we look at how you process language, which is what you do when you're trying to learn something. And some people like to hear it, and some people like to read it, and some people like to hear it and read it together. And what I discovered is that there are huge preferences in this area. Some people, when they hear it, they get 10%. When they read it, they get 20%. But when they hear it and read it together, they get 90%. And you can see how that could make a huge difference when you're trying to learn something.
Very interesting. Basically, we all have more than one, for sure, the ability
yes.
to comprehend. And one might be stronger than the other, so to speak, but you can use this talent in combination to achieve your desired goal.
Exactly. It's like we're not a one-note band, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But we have areas where we're strong, and
yeah.
if we're really wanting to produce a result, you want to go with your strengths, and don't worry about your weaknesses. They're just not
yeah.
that important.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think we are so resistant to understanding that we all basically learn differently?
You know, I'm not sure about this, but I think it is a problem because teachers haven't known how to deal with this issue. I mean, it's like when I had that experience, I was committed because I knew there was a way that this information could be used. But most teachers, you know, they don't have the time and they don't have the fire that I had. And so they abandon the idea. And they haven't known how to use it. They
mm-hmm.
just haven't figured that out. And it's asking way too much for a teacher to try and meet every student's mm-hmm. need. You just can't do it. It's impossible.
Interesting. In your research over the years, I'm sure you encountered people that are fearful. You talk a little bit about this in your book. What is the greatest fear people have about their smarts? Because we create that sort of, for lack of a better term, the fear from within.
Yes. Well, if you think about it, whenever, you know, one of the human behaviors that we have is that we believe if we're doing something that's not producing a result that we want, what we do is we do it harder, thinking that if we do, we're going to get a different result. And it's kind of a silly thing that we do, but I do it. Everybody does it. And when it comes to this process of changing a behavior, it's challenging to do things differently. But if you always do what you've always done, which is familiar and not scary, you will always get what you've always gotten. And if you try to do something different, what happens is that we get into territory where we don't know what the outcome is going to be, and we get afraid. Mm-hmm. But what I say and what I've heard from others, that if you want to change and have success, you have to move through that fear and trust that it's going to be okay. The fear isn't real. It's just something that your mind puts in front of you. And I think anytime you change a behavior, there's an element of fear that creeps in. And and if you're going to change the behavior, you have to be willing to move through that fear.
Very interesting. One of the things you talk about as we find our baseline is to appreciate our own self. That's very important, isn't it?
Oh, we're in society, there is a phobia about thinking that if you appreciate yourself, you love yourself, you'll become an egomaniac. But that is just not the truth. That's the opposite. That's the opposite. Egomaniacs don't like themselves. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And if you truly want to be successful and to move beyond barriers, you have to love and appreciate yourself. It's the only way. And it's not somebody else's job. It's your job to do for yourself. And I know that's different than what people talk about.
Right, right. Also, I believe if you focus and appreciate your ability, you're focusing your energy from a perspective of a position of strength.
Absolutely. We are projectors, literally. And if we have positiveness inside of us, if we can be thankful for what we already have, and if we can feel positive about what we're doing, it will be projected out and happen for us. It's the most important thing that you can do. And I'm not the only one that's saying this. I mean, very successful people, they talk about this, how, you know, you project out what is within.
Right, right. Who can benefit from your program?
Anybody, really. But on my website, which is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com, there is a questionnaire that you can fill out to find out if it would benefit you as a student. And most students today could benefit from it because we have this weird thing that has happened in our schools. And what it is we have abandoned learning. Learning is not important to us. Memorizing and regurgitating is what we do and what most students know how to do. Mm-hmm. And the reason I know this is that the students who were dropping out in record numbers in nursing, they did not know how to learn, and learning was required in nursing in order to get through. And so when they used my program, which taught the students how to learn, how to use their brain correctly, when you do that, you learn automatically, which is quicker than memorizing. All of a sudden, the retention rates flip-flop. They went from losing 80% to saving 80%. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural thing. When you begin to use your brain correctly, you learn. You don't memorize.
Very interesting. What can the listeners do to discover if learning about their brain talents could assist them in so many ways? Is there any specific exercise that they can do immediately to kind of gauge themselves?
I think that everybody has had that experience. I don't think there's anybody that's listening has not had that experience. When you are able to remember somebody's name, when you're able to do something very easily, when you are able to remember some piece of information without working at it, what you did is you accidentally used your brain correctly and the information went in and you didn't have any problems remembering it. I was talking to someone the other day and she was saying that for all of her life, whenever she hears a song, she hears it one time through and she never forgets the lyrics, ever. Never. I mean, she said she can remember lyrics of songs from the 60s.
Wow.
And the reason she can is she's using her brain correctly.
Yeah.
That's proof positive about how amazing these brains are that we have.
Right. So true. I remember when I was in the restaurant industry, we had 25 restaurants. I remember the phone numbers of each restaurant, up to 9 restaurants. And then somewhere along the line, that's it. I just couldn't process it anymore. And the funny thing about it, though, Renee, is that right now, I can't even remember the phone number of my best friend because you know why? We have smartphones. We don't need to remember numbers anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like you don't have to, but think about it. I have my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She drives me crazy. But she can remember any number that's ever given to her. She just remembers it. And it's because she's learning, she's using her brain correctly. For a time, she was a checker in a grocery store. And it took her about 15 minutes to learn all the codes of all the foods. And it's because she's using her brain correctly. And what it is, she's logical. And because she had a bad experience with math, which is logical, she thinks she's not good at math. But if she just learned how to use her brain correctly in that situation, she would be brilliant.
How would a parent know if your program is appropriate for their child?
So basically what a parent can do is they can go on my website and they can take the self-evaluation that's free there to find out whether or not it would work for their child. But basically, some of the things to think about is, are you a person that learns something and then takes the test and then forgets it immediately? Do you go over and over and over and over a piece of information to try and remember it, which is what we do when we're trying to memorize? And another thing is, are you not getting the grades that you should get? Are you a person that studies a lot but you don't get very good grades? This is another indication. People who get good grades, do you work really hard for those grades? When you really use your brain correctly, the information goes in almost automatically. It's just like an automatic, it just goes directly past go and goes right into your brain. So it's really amazing. It's just an amazing thing how when you're using your brain correctly, the information just goes right into long-term memory.
Fascinating. Please share with us some success stories from your students. I think that will really solidify your program.
There was, I have a couple really good ones. First one is, there was a student who had been a LPN in nursing for a whole bunch of years. and she was trying to get into the nursing program, and she couldn't pass the entrance exam. And so she came over and worked with me, and I helped her figure out what her brain talents were, and I told her exactly how to study for the test. And 2 weeks later, I got a call, and she said, I passed it, and I not only passed it, I got the highest grade that they have ever recorded. Then I was doing workshops in my home, and I noticed this young man who was a freshman in high school, and he was reading Sports Illustrated. And so at break, I talked to him, and he had flunked his freshman year of high school, and so his parents held him back and put him in the freshman year again, and he was flunking again. And he was really depressed about it. And so I focused on him. I told him exactly what he was supposed to do, and he had to make an outline, and he had to read it aloud. Well, he kicked a soccer ball against the side of the house because he was really a soccer fan, and he was body kinesthetic. And he talked to me about 10 days later and said, I have got nothing below a B since I started doing this activity. And it's not magic. It's the way our brain works. And we think that sitting in a classroom or sitting at a desk and studying is the way to do it. And it isn't the way to do it. It's like doing things differently. There was another student that I had in my college success class who was this phenomenal artist. I mean, oh, she was so good. And so I taught her how to take notes in the spatial way. And when her notes are in my book, you can see them. She did masterpieces with her notes. She was drawing all kinds of things. And about a week later, she came into the classroom, and she was just so excited. And what happened is that understanding how to use that art skill with what she was trying to learn changed her whole life. She went from a kid on probation to an A student. She was able to take that brilliance as an artist and use it to learn all the stuff that she had to learn that wasn't about art.
It's fascinating. Do you have a story from a non-student to share with us as well?
Wait, from a non-student? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a non-student. I don't know. Everybody's a student.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. I have a school that's been using my book for at least 10 years. Yeah. And what they do is they take business people, who I guess are not really students, that want to get a higher degree so that they can make more money and do a job that they want to do. And the director of that program has told me that the success that they've had in that program is based on using my book and my learning system. Because what it does is it gets these people who are working 40-hour weeks and are going to school to get a higher degree, it gives them time to be able to do this because they are learning so much faster. And when they get out, they know the material that they learned. They can apply it. It's not like the information went through one ear and out the other.
Very interesting. What will be the main obstacle preventing us from achieving success using your program?
Well, old habits die hard.
I agree.
And, you know, and I think that that's, you know, one of the things that has happened, and every time it happens, I laugh, because somebody will take the program and they'll get A's, and it'll be easy, and they'll be so excited about it. And then a few months later, they come to me and say, it's just not working for me anymore. And we take a look, And they're not using the program. They're doing their old techniques.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I mean, it's so amazing. And that happens. It just happens. And it's funny. And then once they realize what they've done, they get back on course and they're okay.
Very interesting.
It's just human nature.
Yeah. Well, we get complacent because we achieve success and then we sort of retreat it in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because we can wing it.
Yeah, we figure, what the heck.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, a lot of those behaviors we've had since we were in first or second grade, and it's, you know, it's hard to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not impossible. It just takes focus.
So true, so true. I remember growing up, my cousin and I were the same age. We went to different school, and the parents are so competitive. It's not us, but the parents are. So my aunt come over and tell my mom, if my son fated that way, because the moment he gets home, he hits the book all the way for 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the evening and then stop for dinner and then he reads. And where does Johnny go when he gets home? Eat lunch, puts on his soccer shoes and go out to play soccer.
I know.
So my mom's looking at me like, okay, aren't you going to be studying? And I remember vividly, it was so funny, I would say, well, do you want me to just sit with the book in front of me for 2 hours and not grasp anything? Or would you like me to study when I need to? I know when I could really absorb everything that I need to study.
That's really good.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a silly thing. Growing up, it just reminded me, when I read your book, it reminded me of all those things. But one couldn't help but smile looking back in time at how we...
Yes. Yeah. It's so true. And it's like, you know, we have this belief that in order to learn something, we need to sit at a desk and we need to read quietly and we need to take notes and blah, blah, blah. And the truth is... You know, for that kid who was a freshman in high school, he didn't need to do that at all. He needed to create an outline and read it aloud and kick his soccer ball.
Right.
That's what he needed to do.
Yeah.
I know that sounds so bizarre, but that's how you that's his brain talent. That's the way he worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's true. So true.
It's so important. See, that's what you needed to do when you were out doing your soccer. You needed to take your book with you.
So it's a different approach, and I agree with that. As an adult, I remember as well, you say, oh, did you read this book? Did you read that book? I said, no, I'll just wait for the movie to come out because I get a lot more from the movie. I'm very visual. I'm very visual. But you say, you're missing the
you're not visual, you're experiential. That's what it is, and that's why you really like the movie.
Yeah.
You're very experienced. You're probably talented in knowing self because you were so insightful when you were talking to your mom about how you study.
Well, that didn't make her happy, though.
No, I know.
The proof is in the pudding, you see, when we had national exams and I came out ahead. That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's the mistake. That's what's been going on in our schools, is that we have been so focused on passing exams that we have opted for memorizing instead of real learning. We've abandoned that. And I have on my website a blog that talks about the difference between learning and memorizing, and it's huge. The ramifications are huge, and that's why our educational system in the United States is in the bottom third when we compare with other countries around the world, because we're memorizers. We're not learners.
Yeah. Well, we're no longer applying the knowledge that we learn.
Exactly. You can't apply it. Yeah, you can't. You can apply anything unless you actually learn it. If you're memorizing, you can't apply it. I had a student tell me recently that when they memorize and they have to do an essay question, they can write maybe one sentence, but when they really learn it, they can write two or three pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
the reason that happens is that when you learn something, a chemical reaction happens in the brain, and it changes it, and then that information is associated with everything you already know about that subject matter. And it allows you to be able to think outside the box, to come up with a whole new idea that maybe nobody else has thought of.
Right, right. And that's where the process of creativity comes in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when I was reading Dr. Howard Gardner's work and I was having all those aha experiences.
Yeah.
I was having them because it was I had all this information in there, and it was lining up with it, and I was having an experience as I was reading his book.
Mm-hmm.
So it went. I just went, oh, I get it. You know.
Fascinating. Fascinating. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading You Are Smarter Than You Think?
I guess the biggest thing is that I would really like them to reconnect with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's number one. And the second thing is I would like them to be inspired about how amazingly smart they are. And
mm-hmm.
out of that, to be successful. I feel, when I think of all the nursing students who have used my program, it excites me because I think all these students have been successful in nursing and now they're nurses in hospitals and clinics all over the world and they're still using my program because it gets you in connection with yourself, and you know how to use this brain that you have on top of your shoulders.
Yeah. Very interesting. You have an online companion program for your book. Please tell us more about that.
Okay. It's the book done in an online experiential fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I lead it. There are videos, there are games, there are all kinds of, you know, we use the computer and the online, you know, technology to its fullest.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who isn't a typical reader should do this online program. And it's really the best deal because when you sign up for the online program, we send you the book for free.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have both of them to refer to. And you get to use this online program for 1 month. It takes you 2 hours to go through it. And I am looking for teachers that would like to bring learning to their classroom. And what they can do is have their students sign up for this program, do it as homework, and then
mm-hmm.
I can help them get the students to integrate this into the classroom so it becomes a learning environment.
Very interesting.
Did you get
a
sense of what the online program is about?
What I've done is that I've gone to the website, I've seen it, I went through it a little bit, but I should have done that because I'm a visual person.
Yeah, you would have, yeah. And
but I enjoyed the book as well. I love the illustration you have in the book and so forth. The book is so well organized, and you have testimonials. When you go through this process, you want to make sure that you're not alone. When you have someone that you can read and see what they have done, what they have accomplished, it motivates you. It really does.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. on my website, there are all kinds of videos of people, testimonial videos.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also, there's a trailer. You can click on this YouTube video and it's a trailer of the online program. You can click on this a piece and you can experience the book. So it's not like you have to jump into the program without having experienced it a little bit.
Right.
And hearing from others their successes.
That's the biggest motivation that one can have, in hearing someone else achieve their goals and experience the success.
Yes.
That makes a big difference. Totally.
And
totally.
And I have to tell you, if you look at the top of my website, you'll see the statistics. We surveyed our nursing schools for 10 years, and the results of that survey are at the top of my header of my website. And so you can see how successful people became when they used my program. It's not, you know, it's not like you were the first people using it. It's been around for a long time.
Right. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Okay. Then go to my website, which is www.youaresmarterthanyouthink.com, all written out. youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. And on that website, you can order the book, you can order the online training, you can hear about it, read about it, my blogs are there. And if you don't want to do it through my website, my book's on Amazon also, and there's all kinds of testimonials there. So you have a variety of choices and ways that you can get my book and learning system. And if you want to contact me, I give you my contact information. And if you're an instructor, I'd love to talk to you.
Fantastic. How has the success of your program impacted you personally?
You know, it's it has surprised me. It's like I was about probably 32 years old when I read Dr. Howard Gardner's work, and I had been a speech pathologist, and that's what my degree was, and all of a sudden my life changed. I went in a completely different direction, and it has it changed my life, and what I feel like I'm doing is what I was meant to do. And it was a surprise to me because it's not what I trained to do, but it's what I ended up doing. And I've been doing it for over 25 years, and it just keeps on going. And I feel incredibly blessed. I mean, absolutely. It's the best thing in the world to get up in the morning and to know that you're on fire about what it is that you do and what you get to do. If I didn't get paid, I would do this anyway because it's so much fun.
Yeah, wonderful. What is next for you?
What is next for me is that I am building a coalition. And how I'm building this coalition is that I am literally looking for teachers in the high school and the college arena who want to change what's happening in the classroom, who want to start encouraging the students to learn in the classroom. And I am looking for teachers who want to be a part of this coalition, and I will help them. I won't even charge them a dime for helping them. I want to do this. And we will begin the process of transforming our educational system by focusing on a solution. And that's what I am about, is focusing on solution and changing what is happening in our schools today. So if you want to join me, contact me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We will get that information out for you to the best of ability, for sure. Thank you for your kind offer. To me, that's just fantastic. I love to see succeed. I really do love to see people succeed. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour, so since our show is about people, family, living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
I certainly would. And this is what I say for having a great life. First of all, be honest about the fact that you're a human being, and human beings are never perfect. The second thing is love yourself even when you're making a mistake. Very important. Don't judge, forgive. And find out what excites you and do it. It's really important. And know that your life has been rigged for you. And the final thing is know that you are loved, you are loving, and you are loved forever. So that's my recipe for success.
That's beautiful, Ray. Thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be screenwriter and best-selling author Thomas B. Sawyer. Thomas and I will be discussing his latest novel, Cross Purposes. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Renee, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.